Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns. Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of the Chase Thomas podcast, where I am still the aforementioned Chase Thomas, coming to you live from Knoxville, Tennessee. We're back. It's been several days since our last episode. It's pretty wild because I'm usually a daily podcaster in this program. We push out a lot of content. I think we had 14 episodes on last week's show here on the Chase Thomas podcast last week on the Blue Wire Pod Network. But this has been a crazy week with the holiday and other commitments. So Wednesday was just kind of the first day I was able to get back into the swing of things in terms of recording the show. And it's important that I don't kind of just throw stuff together because, oh, I got to get stuff out. It's just, if it schedule did not permit, and that's just how it was. And it took a couple days over the weekend too, with it being a holiday weekend, to kind of recharge my batteries a little bit as we head into the summer. Like, it's amazing, but we're already in June, and a lot of exciting stuff planned here on the Chase Thomas podcast this summer that I cannot wait to tell you guys about. But yeah, this is going to be a jam-packed summer, and needed a couple extra days. So we're back in the normal routine, 3 hour program here on the Thursday, June 2nd, 2022 edition here on Chase Thomas podcast. We're going to kick things off with old friend Light Years, Andy Liu. Yeah, one of the best NBA podcasts out there here on the Blue Wire Pod Network, Light Years. It's just one of the best, been going for a long time. I've known Andy since his Warriors World days way back in the day. Shout out to the ESPN Drew Hoop Network. So very excited to have Andy on because when you're hearing this, the Warriors face off with the Celtics in game one of the NBA Finals. So very excited to talk to Andy about that series and how the Warriors got back after 2 years away, and just what it means for the Warriors to be back in the finals. Wiggins, Poole's future, little Hawks, and how the Warriors and Hawks might be doing business this summer potentially. The matchup against the Celtics, Draymond Green, just the Warriors change in likability over the year, Steve Kerr, just all kinds of great stuff with Andy. So that's where we're starting on hour one here on the Chase Thomas podcast, the Thursday, June 2nd edition. Don't forget, you can check us out on YouTube. Oh yeah, all the video content you need, youtube.com, type in the Chase Thomas podcast, like, subscribe, share the videos, all that good stuff. Follow me on Twitter, tweet at me, Chase_Thomas, like the Facebook page at facebook.com/ChaseThomasWriter, and email this very program at ChaseThomasPodcast@gmail.com. Writing every day, so read my sports content, sports writing over at Sports Renaissance Man, that's me, .substack.com, Sports Renaissance Man, .substack.com. Type in your email, subscribe, and never miss an issue of all my written content. That would be great. And yeah, all right, hour one here on the Chase Thomas podcast, the Thursday, June 2nd edition, coming right up with Light Years, Andy Liu. Uncle Darren, let's go.
Chase Thomas podcast. The Chase Thomas podcast. My nephew needs to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, we're back here on the Chase Thomas Podcast late on a Wednesday with old friend Andy Liu. The first time Andy and I have done this on video. Andy, good evening, sir. How are you?
You know, I can't complain. It's most stressful time of the year, most fun time of the year. Man, I feel like when was last, the first time we talked was like the first championship run, maybe even before that. So it's been like, dude, it's been like 7 years.
Have you thought about that with NBA Twitter and just that, like, how long we've all collectively known about each other in the same universe? Like, it's been over a decade.
You know, there's, you know, there's some of us that, you know, get closer together. You and I have never met in person, and you know, we may never, because you're out where you are, I'm where I am. But
maybe the Blue Wire headquarters one day. We do a joint pod at in Vegas at One Studios.
Dude, I mean, that would be amazing at XS or something like that. But I think, like, we've done pods together for a long time. And I think, like, I did a pod with this on the NBA beat, right, with Lauren and Fishman and those guys. And same thing with them. It's just, like, I've known them forever. I think that's cool. Like, that's the cool part of NBA Twitter. I think NBA Twitter now is different. You know, I'm a victim to that. I may have started a lot of that, right? A lot of it's just jokes, trolling, kind of generally maybe not a great place to be all the time. But I remember, you know, when we first started out way, way back in the day, it was a different place. It was a little more nerdy, I think. It was a little more, you know, people tried really hard to do things. But I also thought it was a cool place to learn and meet new people and kind of have different opinions and not be slandered for it the way that, you know, I will slander someone. Like, you can't say anything now. And again, like, I'm not saying I'm above any of that. I'm part of that, right? But it's cool to think, like, the evolution of what Twitter is now. And I think a lot of that is podcasting now, though. Yeah. You know what I mean? Now part of it is just you and I, you know, talking for 30 minutes and people listening to that. Like, that's where it is now versus back then where everything was on paper.
Do a lot of your listeners even know about peak Andy Liu?
Oh, man.
That's like, such peak a great Andy question. Liu is a treasure. Like, you were on Steve Kerr's radar. You were on the Golden State PR team, media relations team radar.
That was... I was in trouble quite a bit. Yes. Not like actually in trouble, but like I was, you know, I was told by Warriors PR. They tell me like, hey, who's this guy? Like, this guy's a loose cannon. The thing is, I was covering the team. I was at all the games. Is the crazy part. I was asking Steve Kerr questions, like stuff like that. And I was like pissing off people in Ohio and you know, calling people racist. I do regret some of that stuff where it's just like I just, you know, I was like 25. I was being stupid. I was drunk. And so just like calling people racist in Ohio. It's like, I mean, like, that was a little over the line, I think, looking back on it. But it was a fun time. And that was the peak of, in my opinion, basketball.
Yeah.
In the last decade or so, is maybe in the last two decades, was Warriors and LeBron, Warriors and Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Just the vitriol that both fan bases had for each other. I think that's what sports is about. Like, you know, the Warriors and Celtics, they're gearing up here. We're going to talk about it. You know, the teams generally like each other. They don't, you know, there's going to be
people like the Warriors now, though. People just don't dislike. I don't know of anyone who really has a strong negative take about the Warriors. You won't meet many of them. Like, I don't encounter them. I literally was just on a walk and ran into somebody. He asked me about the finals, like how I think it was going to go. Yeah. He's in on the Warriors. He likes the Warriors. He likes Steph. Like, it's It's just casual. I think everyone just likes Steph Curry. Clay's nice. Like, Draymond's funny to people now. Yeah. He's endearing at this point. And just, it's not a thing. No one has any strong animosity towards the Warriors. And I think part of it, too, was just them disappearing from the championship window for a couple of years. Like, that's helped.
It's kind of cool to... So there's a couple ways we can go about this. I think this is fascinating. So number one is I think Twitter is just a different place from the real world, right? Like, I mean, even compared to, like, Facebook, who I don't even use Meta, whatever it anymore. I don't even use that. But the reach that Twitter has is nothing compared to what Meta has.
Right.
It's weird to say. I just think that's more real life, right? And I think, like, what you're saying is I think is true. Like, Twitter's just not real extent. I also think the other piece is with the Warriors, you're right, though. Like, when you see a team fall down like that, the failure of a team, that endears you to just humans because everyone fails. I hadn't thought about that. And now the more I think about it, the more you're right. It's different when you see the Warriors, you know, they win the first one. They go 73 wins. They're cocky. They lose. People celebrate that. But then they get KD. They come back and they don't lose. And now they're the greatest team of all time. And I think that's, yeah, I mean, there's a level of villainy there that if I weren't a Warriors fan, I'd probably hate that team too.
Yeah, four superstars. Like, it's just, that's going to happen.
You're right. I think that's a fascinating point. Do people like the Warriors now because of the failure that they've had the last two seasons? I think that's a great, man. That's a thesis statement, right?
It's a fine line, man. Because, like, people will forget about you, and, like, a lot of stuff happens in those 2 years, and I mean, you even bring in Andrew Wiggins, who people just like Wiggins now because it's like, oh, they revitalized Wiggins and this former number one overall pick. It didn't work out in Minnesota, but he became this niche guy and bought into the Golden State system. And now he's going to guard Jason Tatum in the biggest series of his life. Like, that is a cool story. Kevon Looney, who doesn't like watching Kevon Looney move around? Like, it's just, when you look at it, I think the only person I've had a conversation with who I think he probably rubs some people the wrong way is Jordan Poole. Like, it's probably just Poole.
Well, because he's like a young Steph Curry.
Yes.
Because he's like cocky and, mm-hmm. and yells a lot. He shimmies.
Yes.
And so, like, with young Steph, you know, people love him. And mm-hmm. then people kind of start, which is every star. It's not mm-hmm. just Steph Curry. People just tend to hate. Or hate's a strong word, but people tend to, there's a backlash to guys like that. Yeah, yeah. I think Jordan Poole, that's the type, but you're right. I mean, with the old vets, with Draymond, like, we know the show. We mm-hmm. know the show with Draymond now. Klay Thompson, everybody loved Klay Thompson. Nobody out there dislikes Klay Thompson. The injury story with Klay is so cool.
Yes.
Like, I literally think I teared up at the end of, but I am a crier, so I cry a lot. So this is very normal for me. But
dude, the Lightyear spot, people know this. Does Sam know this?
Sam does. He knows I'm okay. a sad boy, big sad boy guy,
okay.
big Millennium guy. so you know, but with Klay coming back and they interview him after the Western Conference Finals, and Klay's about to cry. Like,
yeah,
it's almost like a storybook season. I'm not gonna say win or lose. They win it. It's a storybook season. They lose.
I think it is either way. I would push back. So? I would say it is. Just wow. like them going from no playoffs to back in the finals. Like, that's insane. Like, that just doesn't really happen. Like, it just never feels like when you think of dynasty's over or the moment's passed for them to just get through. Because remember before, if you go back and check the receipts, I'm sure you guys have checked things out. Like, everyone was poking holes where, like, the Warriors, I think they can be got in the first round. Like, I don't trust the Warriors late in the season here. I don't think that they're going to be able to stay healthy. I don't think Klay's playing well enough down the stretch here. I don't think they're going to be able to do this. No Wiseman. Like, James Wiseman just hasn't been around. They kept that lottery pick and have gotten nothing from James Wiseman. Nothing. And you think about that and you're like, man, like, it's kind of amazing that they were able to get back. And it's also like, they did such a great job of bringing in these role guys, like the Gary Payton finds, the Otto Porter, who's just turned into such a great 4-5 guy. Like, they just nailed everything where you're like, I think a lot of people just appreciate how difficult it is to get back once you leave. So it's just, usually it doesn't come back. Like, the Spurs just left and they never came back and they will not come back for a long time.
Yeah.
And part of that's Kawhi leaving, but it's also just that, like, staying atop the NBA and atop any major sport for that long is so difficult. But once it's over, it's usually over. You don't just bounce back.
I think the Spurs are a curious one because the Warriors like to compare themselves to the Spurs. Mm. And I think it is a little bit similar, but I think the Warriors have a little bit of a higher ceiling than those Spurs. Mm-hmm. What did they win, like 4 in 15 years?
Yeah.
What was the number? Like, just, but it was a long time. So my thing would be like, I don't know the Warriors, like, like 6 finals, maybe they win one. I would say they win one in the next 3 years, right? Maybe you could say 2. That's a lot, right? That's a lot of titles.
Well, see, but I think they missed it because if they were going to do that, Wiseman has to be like the heir to Steph, right? Like, when the Spurs fell into Kawhi from Duncan, they had that natural, they're like, oh, we lucked out. We got someone to immediately replace him. And they had that with David Robinson to Duncan. That immediate, like, franchise cornerstone replacement. I don't think Golden State has that immediate franchise replacement, and that was supposed to be Wiseman.
Definitely not Wiseman. Yeah. And I hear you because he's the number two pick. I think people forget he's the number two pick. Which is crazy. But what if I told you it was Jordan Poole and Kuminga? Like, what if I told you it was
Are we sure Jordan Poole's on this roster next year?
he is technically because he's still on the roster, but he can get extended right now, like after the season. He can get the rookie extension.
I still think the Hawks are in just like the team that I shout out to Doc Rivers.
Yeah,
Travis Link, as you know, former assistant GM, longtime Golden State guy.
Yeah. A lot of Warriors ties in Atlanta, by the way. They're hiring a bunch of Warriors people.
Exactly.
Off the record.
And I think my gut, like, people were talking about, like, I think they've thrown out like Ben Simmons and all these different people of like who the Hawks will bring in and target. I think Zach LaVine was one. It's like, none of those guys are coming to Atlanta. None of that's gonna happen. If they make a move and they shake things up a little bit, what happens is if the Warriors win it all and they're like, okay, we've got another ring. These guys are all too expensive. We drafted Moses Moody, Kuminga, Wiseman for a reason. Poole's got to go. Like, Poole, we cannot afford to pay him because he cannot be one of our three with Steph, Klay, and Draymond and this group. and then you sign and trade Poole and or Wiggins to Atlanta. Like, I, my gut instinct is either Wiggins or Poole is an Atlanta Hawk next year. That's my gut.
That would be – next year is tough. See, like, both guys, they technically don't need to go anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, they are technically still
– But if you're able to get, like, John Collins or DeAndre Hunter, like, a cheaper option now – and because DeAndre's locked in and John Collins is locked in. You just find that person to – I would not be surprised
Hunter
if that's where
they
go.
Hunter might be a better fit. I if they had – see, the thing is, if they win a championship, I can almost guarantee you they re-sign both guys. It's sick.
Interesting.
Like, the amount of taxes that they'll pay – it's not my fucking money. Like, it doesn't matter to me. But I just think Joe Lacob just doesn't care. As long as they win, I think they pay both guys. Now, the sick part of it really – not sick, but the part that really they can't control is Jordan Poole's mentality. I think Wiggins, yeah. would sign for, like, $20 million. He could probably get 25 so easy. Like, it's just – he's a young wing that's after next – he's still young. He's going to be, like, 27, 28 after next season. Like, it's not – he'll get 25 easy. The thing with Jordan Poole, even if the Warriors want to pay him that amount of money, Jordan Poole might just be like, look, I'm 23 years old after next season. If I get to go to Atlanta – look, I'm not going to be the number one guy. Me and Trey aren't guarding anyone, but I'm going to average 20,
together. Yeah.
Right? And we're playing 25. I'm scoring 25 points a game, and I get to play 35 minutes a game every game, and I got my title. Like, I'm good. I'm going to be just become that guy in Atlanta or wherever else. Like, I could see that being realistic. Then I don't know. Right? Then I don't know, because it's a hard sell to a young kid like that who's got a lot of confidence that says, dude, I could average 25 points in the NBA, and I deserve the max contract, which, you know, you can argue, but a lot of NBA players get max contracts.
The Hawks would do that, though.
It's on Jordan Poole, man. Like, I can see Jordan Poole saying, like, hey, I'm out of here. And I can see the Warriors maybe saying, like, no, but this is not the NFL, right? Like, with the NBA, generally the players get what they want. I don't know. But on the other side, it's like, well, Klay's getting older. Steph's getting, you know, like, I prefer not to think of it that way. But I think the key here is like Kuminga. Because I think, like, here's what I think. I think the Warriors, they win the title. Shocking. Andy Lou thinks the Warriors are going to win the title.
Yeah.
I think they re-sign both guys. Yeah. Because you're smart. They re-sign both guys. And then they hope that, I think Moody's going to be a good role guy regardless. Like, he's just going to be a good role player. The swing is Kuminga. I think Wiseman's done. He's not good, man. He's got no feel for the game. Let's not talk about him. Kuminga's the guy. Like, is that guy going to be a role player like Moody? Maybe like a supercharged role player? Is he going to be like a Tobias Harris type who's like, maybe he'll get numbers but never actually plays winning basketball? Or is he going to be like, Pascal Siakam? Who I think, like, that's a comp. Like, if he's Pascal Siakam, this team is going to win another championship.
Yeah, they're going to keep going. This thing's going to keep moving.
Yep.
It's funny, though, too, with Wiseman. I think about this is sometimes people forget, like, the addition by subtraction, where if you go Ball in that spot, and LaMelo Ball with this group is fun to think about, and I still think about that, where I'm like, if they had just not overthought it and just took LaMelo and just thrown him in there with Steph and company, like, it would not be a problem. They would have been really good. I just have a hard time believing they would have not all figured it out. But
that would be interesting. That's an interesting hypothetical, because I don't know how you play LaMelo with Poole, and just that's not.
Well, Poole's probably out in this scenario. Poole's not going to be who he is now if you go LaMelo Ball and not Wiseman there.
That's a really interesting hypothetical. Either way, I think here's the thing about Wiseman. The dirty little secret about Wiseman is, even if he was healthy, he wouldn't be contributing to winning minutes. Like, let's be honest,
helps you guys, right? Because Kevon Looney being as good as he is, and 100%. Like, it opened up other opportunities for other guys to step up. Like, Otto Porter playing some five. Like, it's just different dudes have been able to find their way into those spots and have been better. So Kerr hasn't had to, like, kind of figure out, do I need to throw in the number two pick and try and just get him?
They would have in the regular season, but, like, right now, no way, man. Like, Moses Moody, I wouldn't even play Kuminga in this series. Like, I'd rather play Moses Moody because that's just a guy that's an NBA player. Like, Kuminga, yes, he'll be an NBA player, but I don't know if he'll be a winning player. Moses Moody, I really feel like that's a winning player for the next
year. So you're more sure about Moses than you are Kuminga.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Kuminga, the ceiling's way higher. Like,
yeah.
Like, to be honest. But, like, it's, like, that's how basketball is, right? Sometimes you have a guy that's, that just might not contribute to winning basketball, but he's just going to get numbers. Like, the NBA is littered with those guys. I mean, that's Trae Young. No, I'm kidding.
Hold on.
But Moses Moody.
The man went to the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, yeah. that discussion's over. Like, when all that, like, he went to the Eastern Conference Finals. But I will say, the thing about Trae, the best thing that happened to Atlanta this summer is that Trae struggled in the Miami series. Like, if Trae had balled out and they still went down the way they did and Trae did not get shut down by this Miami team and he was going 30-7, 35-7, he's, like, going scorched earth this summer where he's like, okay, we're trading everybody. Like, everyone's gone or I'm gone. Like, you're getting Bradley Beal next week or I'm out. But because it was, like, a collective just stuffed by Miami that, I don't know, it feels like the vibes are – better and like, hey, there's a learning curve for all of us and we've all got to get better.
I hope so. I think there's a comparison, not just because those guys were traded for each other essentially between Trae and Luka, but you can see and they're young. And I think Steph learned this lesson in 2016, so the year after he won a title. It's how much do you give a shit about playing defense? And we saw Luka, who had averaged, you know, 86 points in the Western Conference Finals, but I thought he wasn't I thought he wasn't great. Like, he wasn't. And a lot of this is you can't play winning championship basketball if you don't care about defense. And we saw Steph get attacked. And now, you know, I always say that his knee wasn't healthy, but he got attacked and got in foul trouble and it ruined his game in those 2016 finals. And now look at him. Like, he is a really good defender. People still think he's
also a lot bigger than Trae. Like, that's the thing about Steph and Trae. When they make those comps, like, Steph is a lot bigger than Trae,
which is crazy because, yes, you know, Steph is pretty tough. But Steph also put on a bunch of muscle. And a lot of it is just like, how much do you
Steph's
care?
What, 6'3"?
Yeah, 6'2". Yeah,
Trae's barely 6 feet.
Really? That's crazy. But, like, even, like, look at Luka. He's a big boy. The problem is he's a big boy. Like, the dude, like, he's an NBA player with a double chin. Like, what are we, like, dude's
Well, hold
fat.
On. The thing about Luka, though, too, and Luka and Trae, is their usage is crazy. Like, I've always been more lenient on guys being bad defenders when their usage is like 42%, where it's like they're asking you to carry everything on every offensive possession.
But they want to do that, though.
Yeah. That's true. I think in Luka's case, he had to do it more so than Trae. Like, there's actually a lot more talent, and, like, DeAndre Hunter should have gotten more looks, you have more talent around him. It was more in Dallas. It's like, here's a guy who can catch and shoot. Here's another guy who can catch and shoot. Yeah. Here's another guy who can catch and shoot. And then
they
Jalen Brunson.
It that way, right? Brunson. But they built it that way, and that's part of, like, how far does that take you? Because unless you're LeBron James, who is a top two NBA player of all time, that type of basketball is, I think, not going to win you a championship. Because, like you said, like, if you're going to have that high of usage, you can't play defense. If you can't play defense, you're done. And if you're going to try to play, you could try to play two ways. You're going to break down, right? Like Chris Paul in Houston, like James Harden, who just breaks. He's like, James Harden's done. Like, his body is finished because he's fat. He's always out of shape. He doesn't care about anything. That's just not a winner. Now, I'm not saying that's Luka and Trae. I'm just saying, like, they're young. I mean, they got to figure that stuff out. I felt like Steph figured that out. Just like, for him, it's harder, right? For those guys, because Steph had, yeah, they're so tiny. They got to figure. You can't just be like Jason Tatum, who's 6'8", 6'9", and you can just as long as you try on defense, you'll be fine.
But it was also like a different culture where it's like, we have Jalen and we have this team oriented basketball, and like, that's what Brad Stevens incorporated, and that's what he grew up in, and that's what Ime is doing. So it's a little bit different when Houston's just handing you the keys, and Atlanta's handing you the keys, and Dallas is handing you the keys, and. Yeah. If you're a superstar, like, it gets you paid. You go, you make it all NBA teams. You do really well. Like, Trae just got a bonus. He made 13 all NBA this year. Like, high usage guys who score a lot of points and carry offenses, I mean, it just works. It's a good formula. Like, will it eventually win a championship? No. But I also just don't think a lot of guys, I don't think a lot of teams have the rosters right now to do that. Like, that's the other thing. It's like, I don't think there's enough guys to go around. So some teams just look at it as like, hey, we have one guy who we know can carry a crazy usage and we can outscore a lot of teams during the regular season. Will they probably burn out, which is what happened with James Harden so many times, where it's just he was asked to do so much during the regular season to gobble up those wins that he just burned out. Like, basketball is just so hard and it's so fast. There's so many more possessions than it was just 20 years ago that, like, I don't know. I don't think everyone can play the same way, and I don't think the team basketball will lead to a lot of wins. So I think a lot of teams are just like, we have to kind of do pick and roll to death. our guy is just going to keep attacking, because that's all it's all we have.
I mean, like I mean, we talk about the Warriors, the way that they play, right? It's just, you can do that because you have Steph and Clay, and then you have Draymond, who's a great passer. And also, it takes amount of, I think, personal sacrifice to do that. Like, Draymond, I mean, he cares, but, like, he's almost detrimental to the offense because he doesn't care enough about scoring, right? And he's too much on the other side. And a lot of these guys are made men. Like, Steph and Clay are made men. Win or lose this finals, like, they're made men. Like, this doesn't define them. It'll make them better. It'll make them more legendary if they win these finals. But it doesn't define who they are. These guys are three-time champions. And it would be a lot cooler if they did. And I think that makes life a lot easier. And I think that, you know, to talk about these Warriors this postseason, I mean, like, why did Jordan Poole come off the bench? Why don't we see him whine? Why don't we see him whine? Because he did in the regular season. He came off the bench for Clay, and he was bitching and moaning. He didn't want to play basketball. But in the postseason, he came off the bench because Steph did. Steph came off the bench for five games in the postseason. And if Steph's doing that, like, Jordan Poole, you're not half, like, you don't have 10% of Steph's career. Like, you don't get to bitch, right? So, but that's hard, right? No, like, nobody's following James Harden. Like, nobody gives a shit about James Harden. That's not a leader, right? And like, Luka, Trey, I don't know.
The Andy takes. I'd forgotten about the Andy Lou takes.
So, well, you know, we'll see. I'm stressed about the finals. I'll tell you that. I'm pretty stressed about the finals.
Has Dre dropped it all this season? Like, how much has he changed for folks that, like, the last 2 years and what the Warriors were and their injuries? Like, for a lot of folks who tune in to the Warriors in this NBA Finals, who are casuals and have not watched the Warriors that up close since the Cavs rivalry, how much has he dropped? What's going to be the biggest thing that stands out that's different about this current iteration of Draymond?
Draymond, interesting. I think nothing.
Okay.
I think nothing. The Warriors are the best that they've ever been this season. So, you know, it's corny, but they are peaking at the right time. Before this postseason, the core three guys played 11 minutes with each other. So, the first three rounds of the postseason is the first time this team has actually played together, and they're playing the best basketball. And you can argue, is that because they played a shitty Mavs team? I tell you that Mavs team beat fucking fraud Chris Paul, right? On this side. So it's like, well, you know, you can argue a lot of different things, but fact is, they're playing the best basketball that they have right now, and a lot of that is Draymond. Now, I would say teams are getting better at going up against Draymond. And so Draymond's still doing the same stuff in terms of, he's passing the ball a little bit. Too much, right? So he's trying to squeeze past into the other side. His finishing is still, like, not great, but if he's trying to shoot the ball, it generally bodes well for the Warriors. If he makes a three, you lost the game. It's classic, a rule, a Warriors rule. If he makes a three, you lost the basketball game. Doesn't matter if it's the first quarter or the fourth quarter. So he's about the same guy. Now, if you compare him to 2016 Draymond, which is, you know, the famed nut-kicking Draymond, like, no, he's not even close to that. That guy was averaging, like, 20 points a game on, like, 38% free three-point shooting, right?
So it's mostly just offense. The defense is the same.
Yes, the defense is the same. He had a pretty scary back injury in the middle of the season that caused him to miss, like, 30 games.
Yeah.
Crazy part about this Warriors team is they've never been healthy this whole season until now. So, yeah, he's about the same. And I think defensively, he's going to be the guy. I think a lot of people are talking about how great the Celtics defense is, and they're calling it generational and how the Warriors are going to score. Yeah, sure, fine. But at the same time, like, I don't know how the Celtics are going to score against the Warriors. You watch that offense? It's a joke. It's dribble, dribble, dribble with guys that can't dribble. And so it's like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I love Jason Tatum. Sometimes I want him more than Luka. But it's like, the guy dribbling, you don't want that to happen. Like, Jaylen Brown, it's, oh my God.
So you're not worried about White and Smart on Steph at all?
Oh, yeah. Wait till you watch. Yeah, Derek White going one-on-one against Steph. I'll take that any day, right? Okay. I think they'll try to go Tatum, like, switch off on Tatum against Steph, but it's like, like, we saw Steph against Jalen Brunson. He was fine. We saw Steph against Luka. He was fine. Like, he'll get blown by. He'll get run over a little bit, but more often than not, he'll be fine. The problem is if they hunt Jordan Poole. Jordan Poole's atrocious defensively.
Yeah.
It's just what happens when you're 22 years old. But I have a hard time seeing how the Celtics score against the Warriors. On the same token, like, the Warriors are going to struggle to score against the Celtics. It's going to be a rock fight a lot of this series. It's going to be like 99, same as the Heat, right? Like 99, 95, maybe low 100s. I don't think it gets to 110.
What's the best matchup?
For the Warriors?
Yeah. What do you think they should exploit? What do you look at it and you're like, okay, the Celtics can't do anything with this.
I actually think so Robert Williams, I think, is hurt. I don't think he's healthy, which is, I don't know if it's a game changer. Like, I don't.
Warriors, speaking of, is Peyton playing? Is he good?
I think he's going to play. Okay. So the Warriors, like, as healthy as they have ever been, I think GP2 plays, auto plays. I think Andre might even play. He's 58 years old. I think the biggest part of this is just, I think the Celtics haven't played an offense like this extended amount of times. Like, yes, we can talk about how the off-ball movement, the motion offense, you can zero in on certain guys. You refuse to put the ball in Steph's hands. Like, things get tough for that offense, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think that's still tough for the Celtics. And I think the Celtics get exhausted by the time game 3, game 4 comes around. This is not going to be a 4-game series, right? It's not going to be a 5-game series. I think it goes 6 games. And I think by the time game 4 comes around, I think Boston's just... They're just, it reminds me a little bit of the Warriors in 2016, where the Warriors were just so tired by the time the end of that series came around. They had nothing left. And the Warriors were the same, like, they were the same injuries that that Boston has. Marcus Smart's not healthy, even though he's playing. Robert Williams is not healthy, even if he's going to play. Jason Tatum is, they say he's not healthy, right? So it's like, how much longer can this Boston team play, especially against a Warriors team that's not, they're not doing the bullshit Trae Young, Luka, Harden offense where it's pound, 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 pound. And so all the guys do on Boston is just stand around and wait, right? It's, dude, Steph and Clay are running around all game long, and they're not going to stop. Same with Jordan Poole, same with all those guys. So, yeah, I mean, I could see Boston winning game one. I could see them winning game 2, 1-1. But I think by the time game 4 comes around, man, like, I just think, even though the Warriors are the older team, I just think the way that the Warriors play are just going to be too exhausting for Boston. I don't think people think about that stuff because nobody gives a nobody cares about that. Nobody thinks of it that way. But that's Steve Kerr's main thing, always, every series.
Interesting. Has he gotten better? You're pretty hard on Steve Kerr back in the prime Warriors years. Do you think he's improved? Do you think he's changed as a coach?
Yeah, I love me some Steve, man. That's my guy. Okay. Yeah. I would say that they brought in a bunch of really good coaches. Steve Kerr got better. Steve Kerr is actually doing the best coaching job that he's ever done this postseason. This postseason. Now, his best coaching job ever was his first season because he brought in an offensive defensive scheme that took over the NBA, changed the entire NBA for the next decade, right? So he did that, and that will never be forgotten. That's number one always. But this postseason, you can see the type of adjustments that he's making pregame. Like, I think he's going to play to win the game in game 1 tomorrow. Like, I can see them, like, making different adjustments in-game. Like, the way they guarded Luka by springing doubles, hard hedges, traps, and then, like, ISOs, putting Looney on him, all that stuff has never been done with the Warriors before. Now, all they've used to do is just, hey, we're just going to roll out our guys, and we're just going to play with our team, but we're never going to switch anything up. We're that good. And, you know, I think that theory was always right. They were that good. So there's no reason to change your core principles. Right now, their core principle is to attack what we think is the weakest thing that you have. They're running more pick and roll. They're attacking guys like Luka. And defensively, they're selling all out to stop Luka. And they're giving guys like Dorian Finney-Smith and Kleba and all those guys threes when they're tired. It's, people are like, oh my God, the Mavs didn't make threes. Yeah, no shit. They're fucking exhausted. And they're the only guys that are shooting it. They're funneling it that way. So it's like, what do you expect? So... he's doing the best job he's ever done, man. I think part of that is, like, he's just got great coaches on his staff, and part of that he's willing to change who he's been.
Is Wiggins as good on ball as people say every broadcast? Has he been that all year? Is Wiggins just an elite on-ball defender?
I don't know if he's elite. GP2's elite. Okay. GP2's better.
Do you think he starts?
No. Looney's going to start because... Boston's relatively big. Like, Boston's going to start Horford and Rob. So, like, they'll probably go with Draymond and Looney.
But GP gets run, even with healthy. Like, he's going to play.
Yeah, he's gonna rip Jaylen Brown and Tatum, like, 2 times a game.
So you think he's going to go on Jaylen?
Yeah, either of those guys. Yeah. Either of those guys, whomever. Wiggins, though, back to your question. I think he's been good defensively. He's a little bit like Clay, back in Clay's heyday, where he's, like, very smart defensively on the ball. He understands the scouting report. You can tell he's always forcing people the right way. He's very quick on his feet, like Clay was, long and big and able to keep up with ones. Like, that's a very rare quality. So I would say, like, all of that, underrated. Off balls, you know, he's kind of whatever, but that's what Clay was too. But I think Wiggins, when they first brought him in that first season, they were saying that he was great defensively. That was unlocking it. And, like, that's their thing, right? Like, the Warriors do is they unlock defense. Like, it just, people don't think about that, because when you think of the Warriors, you're thinking Steph and Clay and those guys. You're thinking of all the threes and all the flashy stuff. But the Warriors are a great defensive team, man. That's how they're going to win the series.
So how many games? Your prediction. Let's end it here.
Yeah, I would say six. I think Boston wins game two, either game one or game two. I think the Warriors go back, they steal game three, so they're up 2-1. Then they get blown out game four because Boston hits a bunch of threes, which they do. Mm. Marcus Smart hits like six of them for no reason. Mm. And then Boston tires out. The Warriors win game five. They win it probably going away. They go back to Boston up 3-2, and they close it out in a close one. I think that's how the series goes. I'm relatively confident that the Warriors win the series. But I
have a look. Are they the betting favorite?
They are the betting favorite. Okay. They're like minus 140. So it's not massive. Maybe 150. Mm. It's weird because the analytics say that that Boston's like an 80% favorite, which I think is hilarious. Which tells me that like it's not an analytics issue. It's just your formula's wrong. Probably you might want to check that formula. Like that Excel spreadsheet might have the wrong combos in place. Mm-hmm. Like 80%. Like, hey, look, if you pick Boston to win in six or seven, like I'm with you. Like I ain't gonna get mad at you.
Well, you're not with you. Yeah, but you understand.
I don't give a shit about you. But yeah, you know, but if you do that. But it's like, dude, Boston in 4 and 5? Like, has Steph ever lost this? Has Steph in this core, three guys, ever lost a series in 5 games? No. Have they lost a series in 6? Yes. Yeah, they lost a series in 6. A couple times they lost to the Spurs way back in the day in 6. Steph got hurt.
Yeah.
They lost to the Clippers by 7 because Draymond Green wasn't really playing back then. They lost to the Cavs, obviously, by 7. And they lost to Toronto by 6. And that series was a joke, right? Like, they lost by 6 because guys were literally dying on the floor. So it's like, I don't know how you make that argument that Boston beats them in 5. 6 is even tough. Like, I think if Boston wins, it's in 7. Hmm. Problem with Boston is like, dude, we both watched Miami almost steal game 7. Like, that was one of the nastiest collapses that I don't know if I was rooting for it, because I was like, damn, like I think if that happens, I mean, dude, you might as well just trade the team. Like, I don't know how you come back from that, but I think there's going to be a bunch of close games this series, like maybe 3 or 4 of them. I think the Warriors win two or three of them, and I think that's probably the decider of the series. The Warriors are, I know we're kind of ending here, but I just want to make another point. Like, the Warriors are, especially Steph, they're playing a different style of basketball than before. You just rarely ever see this team do kill shots anymore, is what I call them. They don't have the 20-4 run, 20-6 run anymore. I just don't think they have that in them. They don't really try to do that because I think they understand that winning these games is not about killing a team in a 4-minute stretch. You can, but I think Steph understands now, like, that's not how you win. I think Steph's been snake bitten by that a little bit, by that, you know, infamous Steph Curry against Kevin Love, which is like, dude, just take it to the hole, you'll be fine, right? Steph right now, he's not shooting that three. And we're seeing it. He's not shooting that three. He's taking it to the hole every single time. We saw it against Jokic. We saw it against Jaren Jackson. We saw it against Luka. So I think this is just a much more mature Warriors team. They just don't really make as many mistakes anymore, especially in crunch time. So they should win this series against a more tired, inexperienced Boston team. So I think that's where I'm at with this series.
Okay. I like it. Who's your finals MVP?
Oh, come on. Look, here's the thing about the finals MVP.
A lot of talk this week about Andre Iguodala winning finals MVP. There was a lot of conversations.
I had a friend of the show, Nick Wright, on the podcast, who took my side, by the way. So just have that known, because he's not an idiot. Here's the thing about finals MVP, man. If Steph plays average basketball, and I think he's going to play above average basketball, but he plays average basketball and the Warriors win, there is not a soul that's going, unless Klay averaged 35 points a game, there is not a soul that's going to vote anyone other than Steph Curry for Finals MVP. A couple reasons. Part of it is they know they fucked up in 2015. Ballots are also public. So if Warriors Twitter finds out that one of these clowns votes for Andrew Wiggins instead of Steph Curry, the backlash that they will get, it's going to be hard to sleep at night. So I think that's one of the reasons. It's these are public, man. And I think there was some talk around Andrew Wiggins winning the final Western Conference Finals MVP. By the way, Western Conference Finals MVP, what are we doing here? And it unanimously went for Steph, which I was a little bit surprised by, because Steph had a pretty bad game 5 for him, right? His bad game is basically Chris Paul's best game. So he averaged like 12 assists, which is hilarious. I just think that Steph's getting it no matter what. Steph's career reminds me of Kobe. Really does. And Kobe won his first finals MVP, not just because of finals MVP. Kobe won it without Shaq. Steph won a title already before KD. Now I think he's going to win one after KD. But it just reminds me of, you know, Kobe got a lot of criticism when he was playing. Steph got, you know, hit a lot of criticism throughout his time. A lot of just kind of, because people know, like, you talk about Kobe, you talk about Steph, it's going to generate clicks, right? So I think it's similar. Kobe won two more, right? He won two more after after Shaq, and I think that's what Curry's probably going to end up with, man. I think he ends up with two more, including this one. So I think their careers mirror each other a little bit, and I think their careers will stand the test of time 20 years from now, like Kobe says.
There you go. There you go. Andy Liu, Light Years Pod, anything you'd like to plug as we wrap up here this evening?
No, man, just the Light Years Pod. I appreciate you, brother. Let's get us back on every, what do we do, like every 3, 4, 6 months? Let's run it back.
We'll run it back, man. Let's do it. Andy Liu, always a pleasure. Thank you so much. All right, that'll do it for hour one here on the Thursday, June 2nd, 2022 edition of the Chase Thomas Podcast. Thank you again to Light Years, Andy Liu, for coming on part one, hour one of the Chase Thomas Podcast. It was great having Andy back here on the show. Go subscribe and keep up with Light Years, especially right now with Golden State being in the NBA Finals against the Boston Celtics. So very great to talk with Andy, and very appreciative of Andy setting aside some time to come on this very program. So shout out to Andy and the good crew over there, and also the Blue Wire Pod Network. Yeah, it's a great family. Go check out all the great Blue Wire Pod shows all across the network. It's rapidly growing, just all kinds of great content all across the board. So go do that. If you enjoyed Andy and I's conversation, make sure you hit that pause button and you leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you're not already and you enjoyed today's episode, make sure that you subscribe to the podcast on your preferred podcast player. Check us out on YouTube, youtube.com, type in the Chase Thomas Podcast. Subscribe, like all of our videos. That would be great as well. And yeah, read me, sportsrenaissanceman.substack.com. And hour two coming up in just 1 second with John Taylor of Fangraphs.com to talk all things Major League Baseball. Uncle Derek, how'd I do?
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.